We continue our learning. We are in Avos, Perakei Mishnevav. Asara Devarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Ben Ashmashos. There's 10 things that Hashem created in Erev Shabbos Ben Ashmashos, which means at twilight, right after the sixth day of creation, before Shabbos entered, Hashem created 10 more things. But they weren't part of the 6 days of creation of the other days, but these were special things, miraculous things that Hashem created to serve a purpose in, as we'll see in the future, that were created Ben Ashmashos. So the first is Pia Aretz. Pia Aretz literally means the mouth of the ground. That was the fact that the ground was there in the Midbar to swallow up Korach and his whole congregation during that rebellion. That was already put into place into the Bria, into Hashem's creation, all the way from Ben Ashmashos after the 6 days of creation. Upia Be'er. Pia Be'er means the mouth of the well. This is a reference to the Be'era Shel Miriam, says the Bar Tanura. Shehoisa Holeches Im Yisrael Bamidbar B'chol Hamasos. Wherever they traveled, they had a bear that joined them. That was created at this time, that was already in place. The Yeshramim, some say, so no, with Pia Be'er, it would be enough to say the Be'er. Be'er means there's water inside. No, Pia Be'er, the mouth of the Be'er, oh, that refers to Shepascha Pia V'Mashiach, the fact that Be'er opened up its mouth and sang Shenemar Ali Be'er Enula. Pasuk Neparshas Chukas, when we had water, Hashem finally gave us water. So there's a song, and it says that there was a Shira that was sung, Am Yisrael sang, and according to the Medrash, according to this, maybe in the is teaching us that Be'er sang it as well. That was miraculous. Also something beyond Teva, normal Teva, that was created during Ben Ashmashos. And this is why the Mefarshim explained. The 6 days of creation is creating nature. That's Teva. But Ben Ashmashos, which is not Yom, not Laila, it's something that's beyond Teva. It's not day or night. It's something in between. It's a Suffolk situation. So that also, that time period is appropriate to have those items that were beyond Teva, Alamalam and Ateva, to be created to perform these miracles in the future. So, Upi Ha'aso, next on the list, the third on the list is the mouth of the donkey that talked to Bila. V'Hakeshes. Keshes is the rainbow. Also after the Mabul, that was a sign, of course, Hashem made that after the Mabul, he wouldn't destroy all of humanity ever again. As we know, it's obviously a natural phenomenon, but it now took on itself a symbol after the Mabul. V'Haman. And the man that fell in the Midbar, that was during the 40 years, we ate man, it fell every day. This was something that wasn't created at that moment. This was already from Ben Ashmashos, after the 6 days of creation, was already set into place to happen. V'hamateh, this is a reference to Moshe's staff, Shenasu Boha Oso, says the Bar Tanur, which he performed all the signs, all the miracles. V'shel San Perinon Haya is telling the type of stone that was made of, and according to some of Farshim, it's Shem Hashem that was engraved into it as well. V'hashami, so obviously that does performs miracles. That's a Ben Hashmashos type of creation. V'hashamir, the shamir worm. The shamir worm, Bar Tanur says, kimin tolas, it was like a worm. B'riyaso kisaora, it's like the size of a barley seed. K'shu marim oso alavonim arushumos b'bidio, henifkos me'alen, is able to somehow split stones, just putting it on the stone. Upo paschu avnei ha'efov v'choshen, the avnei shoham on the efov that the Kohen Gadol wore and the avonim of the Choshen, they were engraved as well with this shamir worm. It was used later by Shlomo HaMelech to cut the stones for the first Beis HaMikdash, also used in the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and then it was destroyed when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's the shamir worm. V'haksav. The ksav, what it means, the writing. So Bar Tanur says on ksav, it was the form of the letters that were in the luchos themselves, engraved into the luchos. As we know, they pierced all the way through to the opposite side, and yet you could read them from either side. But the miracle we're talking about over here is the fact that the samach and the mem sofit, and the samach, which are circles, if you think about engraving them, so then they miraculously they were able to stand because all they have is that little square in the middle that had to hang out in midair in order for there to be an engraved samach or an engraved mem sofit. So that was a miracle created all the way back, these luchos, and that miracle, Ben Ashmashos. So that's ksav. Michtav is the literally means the reading of the writing. What is this talking about? So some say this is the fact that you can read all the letters from even all four sides of the Luchos. And others shouldn't say, no, like this. Haksav is referring to, that's not referring to the Samach and the Mem. The Ksav is referring to the fact that the words of the Torah were black fire and white fire. That's our tradition, and that's what they appeared like to Hashem. And Mechtav is the way they appear to us, is the form of the letters as they were engraved into the Luchos. Different explanations for Ksav and Mechtav. And Vahaluchos themselves, the Luchos also were made out of this stone, the San Pirinon stone, and that was also Luchos, well, not something Hashem created at that time, when he gave us Luchos in Parshas Yisro, but rather all the way here, at this is also something miraculous, so it's appropriate, very fitting for a Ben HaShmashos creation. The Luchos were created as well, and that was number 10 on the list. The Yeshomrim, and some say, Af HaMazikin. Some say we have another list. The Mazikin, one of the Mazikin, Elu HaShedim, says the demons, the negative spirits, negative forces that were created, says the Bar Tanura, Shela'achar Shebakarish Baruch Hu Adam V'chava, Hayam Es Asik B'Briyasan. Remember, this is the sixth day of creation, and then in Ben HaShemashos, right before Shabbos comes in. So what happened? Well, we had animals created on the sixth day, and then Adam and Chava were created on the sixth day, and then Hashem was busy creating this other creature, Kshabara Ruch Hosein, and when he created the spirits of these new creatures of the Shedim, lo hispik livro gufasan achikidesh hayom. But after this, had Adam and Chava created, Hashem was busy trying to create this other creature, and he had enough time to create their spirit, but not enough time to create their body. And then all of a sudden, Shabbos came in, and it was too late. So what happened? Menisharu ruchos below guf. They remained ruchos, these spirits without a body. Those are the shadim that were created at this time, Ben Hashmashos. Ukvaraso shel Moshe, Moshe's burial place, as we know, no one knows where that is. So that was also created this time, according to some. The Yeshomim, there's even another Yeshomim. The Elo Shel Avraham Avinu, where Elo Shel Avraham Avinu is the ram that was created, that's also on this list, this extra list. The aisle that was waiting Basvach Bekanav at the time of the Akedah was already decreed, Ben Hashmashos is going to be stuck in the thicket there at the time of the Akedah. The Yeshom Rim, finally, Af Bitzvas, Bitzvas Asuya. What else was created at this time? The first tongues were made with tongues that Hashem, these metal tongues that Hashem created. What does that mean? So if you think about it, if a person wants to make metal tools, he needs another metal tool to hold on to it in the fire so that it's able to be molded, to be shaped. So how do you do that? You need tongues. But to make the first tongs, you need, so how do you have, to make a pair of tongs, you need tongs to hold on to that in the heat. So how is that possible? So that's why you needed the miracle. The first pair of tongs were created by Hashem during the Ben HaShemashos, the end of creation. However, the Bar Tanur makes this point. He says, it's possible though, in Psachim, in the fourth parak on Daf Nun Dalin, the Gemara rejects that. That we needed, remember, this is a Yesh Omrim on a Yesh Omrim. We had the 10. Then we had the Yesh Omrim, the Mazikin, Moshe's burial place, and Elo Shel Avraham. And now a final Yesh Omrim. So the Gemara says this final Yesh Omrim, not everyone agrees with. Why? Because it's possible to make the first tongs without a pair of tongs. How? The Gemara there says, Efshel Shatzvas HaRishona Nasis B'tfus. How would you do so? So you could say, very good, a human being can make the first tongs. What you do is, you have the first, you have a mold. You pour molten iron into, so now it's a liquid, you put it into a mold, and that can make a tongue, that can make tongs. So you're easy to make. That way you can make the tzvas, you make the tongs by themselves. You don't need Hashem in order to do so. Okay, Perakei, Mishnah Zayin. Shiva Devarim. Now we move from number 10 to 7. Shiva Devarim Begolem is Shiva Bechacham. There are seven things said about a golem. I know we have this image of what a golem is, but now let's tell you what, explain what a golem is. The word golem actually means a product that's unfinished. It's a mold, but it's not yet completely finished. So that would be true if I'm creating anything out of clay. I could have something that's a golem too. When it comes to a human being, when we speak about a golem, we're speaking about someone who is uncivilized, someone who doesn't, it's not, his wisdom is not developed, his manners are not developed, he's a crude person. That's why we call him a golem. He's really unfinished. He's really not completely refined. So, Shiva Devarim Begolem, Shiva Bechacham. The seven things said about a golem, seven about a chacham, it's really the opposite. So we will tell you what the seven things that we speak about a chacham, the attributes of a chacham. What's the definition of a chacham? How can we define a person based on characteristics that he's a chacham? And whatever, and if you don't have those characteristics, we assume you're going to be a golem. So what are they? So chacham, number one, Eino medaber b'fnei mi shehu gadol mimenu b'chachma and maybe uveminyan. A person who's a chacham knows not to speak in front of someone who is greater than he. Minyan may be in age. Chachma certainly means in wisdom. So a chacham realizes that you don't speak in front of someone who's a greater chacham. And the Bar Tanur says there's a source for this. Shekhin masinu b'elazar v'itamar. Shelo ratzu l'daber b'fnei avihen k'shekatzaf aleha Moshe. Moshe gets upset at Aaron and his sons and Parsha Shmini, they didn't eat from the Karban Chatos. Why not? It was the days Aaron was an Aninus, was an Avelus for his Elazar v'Yisamar, for Nadav and Avihu rather, who died. So they happened to be there, but the Heshiv Aaron. But Aaron was the one who responded, and they Elazar v'Yisamar did not. So the first, once again, is a chacham doesn't speak in front of someone who's gadol mimena b'chachma, as Elazar and Itamar didn't speak in front of Aaron when Moshe got upset at them about nodding from the Karban Chatos, as we'll make a comment about that a little bit later. Number two, what do we know about a chacham? Ve'eno nichnas l'toch divrei chaveru. He doesn't literally enter into the words of his friend. He patiently listens to his friend and doesn't interrupt him. Let him finish, and then you speak. Where do we see this? This is in Bamidbar Yudbeis. This is at the end of Parshas Baaloscha, where Hashem says to Miriam and Aaron, he takes them out because they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, at the end of Parshas Baaloscha, and he says, Shimuna Devarai, listen to me. And the Sifri assumes, why does Hashem have to say Shimuna Devarai? Matam alamar Shimuna Devarai, elo shebikshu likarnes l'soch devar amakom. They, Miriam and Aaron, want to interrupt Hashem and justify their actions. Amal hamakom, Hashem says, hamtinu liad shadaber. No, I invited you outside here. Wait till I finish speaking. You learn from the Sifri, from this story, that we don't enter. Hashem wanted to speak. And Kavach Omer, for a hedyot, says the Bar Tanur. This is Hashem speaking. Certainly Miriam and Aaron rather should not interrupt him. And certainly this applies to everybody. The next response, the next character trait of a chacham is he doesn't answer in haste. He thinks about it, he considers someone asks him a question, so you take a little time and be a little bit deliberate in your response. The first him quote a pasuk from Iov Lamed Beis, one of Iov's friends, when Elihu Habuzi answered, he says, Heino chatuli divrechem azin ad tivunoseichem. So it sounds like I'll take a little time to consider, to listen, and understand. And number four, Shoel Ke'inyan Umeshiv Ka'alacha. There, when it comes to a chacham, is someone who asks appropriately and responds properly to the halacha. What does this mean? His questions are related to the subject that's being discussed. He doesn't go off on a question on something on a tangent. And when he answers something, he answers to the point. Bar Tanur says means something maybe a little bit different. We're speaking about specifically a Talmud. He says like this. He says, "Avachi pirusha ha Talmud shoel ka'inyan." Means a Talmud who asks the Rebbe a question, he asks on the appropriate topic. Klomar ba'osu ein shem asukin lo. The topic they're discussing. Va'as harav meishim kalacha. So the two statements are related. Shoel ka'inyan u'meishiv kalacha. This is not talking about the same person. It means if the Talmud is shoel ka'inyan, is asking on the topic, then he will now facilitate the Rav, the Rebbe, answering kalacha. Because that's the topic that the Rav prepared. Avalim Yishal HaTalmud Shalokinyan, if the Talmud asks on a random topic, who may be the Rav Sheyashiv Kolod Halacha, he may cause the Rebbe to answer the Rav, to answer Nak Halacha. Al Derech She'amar Rabbi Chiel Rav, he quotes the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, on Daf Gimel, Ki Koi Rebbe Vahai Masechta Lo Teshayla Masechta Achrisi. When Rebbe is busy, Rabbi Anasi is discussing, or Rebbe in general, is involved in one Masechta, don't ask him in another Masechta. Chayna Tamotzei Ba'anashim Asher Hayu Tumeim L'Nefesh Adam in Parshas Ba'aloscha. People who tamei and they wanted to bring the Korban Pesach, Shereu es Moshe Osek Behilchos Pesach, Vishalu lo be'oso inyan. When they saw Moshe was busy with Hilchos Pesach, so then they asked him about Hilchos Pesach. In fact, there's a halacha about that. When we speak about 30 days before Pesach, there's a halacha, we're supposed to start studying the laws of Pesach. What does that mean practically? So according to one opinion, it means that if two people come with the shayla to the rabbi, so if it's Hanukkah time and one's asking about Pesach and one's asking about a random question in the Gemara, so he can answer whomever he likes. But if it's 30 days within 30 days of Pesach, then the person who asks the question of Hilchos Pesach gets precedence. That's what it means. And the same thing is true. You should be asking a Kainyan on the topic at hand. Then the Mishnah says, what else? The Omer al Rishon, Rishon al Acharon Acharon. He answers, someone asks them multiple questions. He answers each question in proper order. Where do we see this? So Bartanura says, Vehei Matzinu Bagadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'amar lo Moshe. Moshe said to Hashem, Mi ano, when Hashem says, I want you to take this mission to go to Mitzrayim. And Moshe says in Shmos Gimel, Mi anochi ki elech al paro. And then he said, who am I? And then number two, V'chiyotias b'nei Yisrael. So the first question, Mi anochi, that he harishona. V'chiyotias b'nei Yisrael harei shenia. That it's Shuvi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al harishona. What Hashem answer first? Ki eheyeimach. Hashem's, I'll be with you. That was the answer to the first question. Who am I that I'm going to go to Paro? I can't do that. Hashem's, I'll be with you. And then on the second one, Al Hashniyah, Botziyacha, Esha'ami Mitzrayim, Tavdinus Elokim. And that which Moshe said, should I take out of Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, meaning maybe in what Sechus will they leave? Hashem says, yeah, they're going to come to Har Sinai. They're going to get the Torah. Another example, we have this in Rashi, quotes it on Chumash in Sefer Bereshit, Parshas Chayesora. Eliezer came to Rivka and said, Bas mi'at, hayesh beis avich makom lanu lalin, you're the daughter of whom, and is there a place for me to stay? So what she respond? Bas v'suel anochi, and that was the answer to question number one. And gam tevin gam mispo ravi manu gam makom lalun. Yeah, we have a lot of animal fodder, and we also have a place for you to sleep. Hey, Ashiva, she answered on Rishon Rishon and Achron Achron. Number six, character trait of a chacham val mashalo shama omer lo shamati. Very simple. If you don't know, you don't know. Person may have a certain logic about something, so that means he can give a svara. No problem with giving a logical, analytical answer, but to bolster it by saying, oh, this was, I heard this from my Rebbe, so it's miskabel, so people accept it. No, he shouldn't say that. He should say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what Lani Yostait, according to my humble opinion. But no, I don't have a tradition necessarily that this is the psak halacha. And number seven, umoda ala emes. He is willing to admit to the truth. His friend comes to dispute him, so he's not doesn't stand his ground through some logic or some deceptive logic in order just to vanquish his opponent, but rather he's more dilemmas, he's not embarrassed to say that I made a mistake. Where do we see this? So this brings us back to that same story where Elazar and Itamar did not want to answer in front of Aaron, and Moshe said, hey, why don't you eat from this Karban Chatas? So they explained to him why they couldn't eat from it in Parsha Shmini in that episode. And what happened? It says, Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Beinav. What happened? Aaron had responded, and it says that Moshe listened, and it was good in his eyes. And the Chachamim say, Hode v'lo bo shlomar lo shamati, Ela shamati v'shachachti. Instead of saying, I never heard of this, or it's not true, whatever it is, he says, you're right, Shomatish, I forgot, I made a mistake. He was willing to do so. The Teferis Yisrael says that the order of the Mishnah regarding the Malos, these character traits of the Chacham, go in an interesting order. Because the first thing was, the following, Eino medaber b'fnei mishu gadol mimenu b'chachma. So he says it goes like this. This is chronological order here. Before he speaks, Eino medaber b'fnei gadol. And then in the middle, when he's speaking, he's Eino Nechnas Letoch Tvei Chavero, right? He doesn't interrupt. When his friend finishes talking, he doesn't answer hastily. And then when he begins to speak, he asks properly and responds properly. When he's marach b'tshuvaso, and he gives a lengthy answer, because there are multiple questions, he's rishon, rishon, achron, achron. And when he has any suffix, he doesn't say, oh, lo shamati, I never heard this. And when he finishes his words, and his chaver argues with him, he's modal emes. So in fact, you can read the whole Mishnah in order, as if it's speaking about an interaction between two people, and the chacham interacts in a certain way. And as the Mishnah concludes, v'chilufehen begolem. And the opposite is true when it comes to the golem, the crude person, the person who's unrefined, the person who's unfinished, literally. Obviously, is someone who, if you go through the list, so he's going to speak with someone who, in front of someone who is gadol, and he will interrupt his friend, and he will answer hastily, even though he may not know the answer right away. He asks random topics that are not the topic at hand. He doesn't answer rishon. He answers out of order. He's willing to say lo shamati and lie and never heard this, even though he really made a mistake. And he's not going to be moda ala emes. And that's when the Mishnah concludes. V'chilufei hen, the opposite is bagolem.